Sippers, welcome to this episode of the Tea With Me podcast with me, Shane Todd, episode 222. Is that right, Dan?
That's correct.
I think that's right. Before we get into this episode, which we walked away from, me, Dan and Mike, and said that's one of the best episodes we've ever done. Before we plug that, my special is on YouTube now, All American, shot in four of the best comedy clubs in America. It's on YouTube for free. It's on the Tea With Me YouTube channel, my YouTube channel. Go and watch it. If you love it and you leave a like and a comment, that'll be great. But if you just want to watch it, I'd appreciate that. So check that out. We have so much going on Patreon right now. Patreon.com/TeaWithMePodcast. Episode 1 and 2 of the history podcast. It's shaking the academic world. Mysteries by me and Dr. Kieran Bartlett is exclusively a Patreon now. Also, my tennis match with Kieran. If you enjoy any of the recent Wimbledons, you'll love this. Michael the Umpire steals a show. The full length, you might have seen the clip, the full length version is on Patreon. With the Lyric Podcast, which is Patreon only, bonus podcast, live stream, everything. Patreon.com/TeaWithMePodcast. We are sponsored by none other than Manscaped. Now, these guys have been with us since the start, really, on Tea With Me. They're the number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. And hey, they're doing a lot of stuff above the belt, too. I don't know if you watched the video version and saw the moment where my knee fell off the leg that it's resting on there. But if you want to go back and watch that, it might be quite funny because I really panicked when it happened because I didn't understand what was happening just in that split second. But Manscaped, they have stuff for your knees, stuff for your what's it? What academical for your anus? If you want to tidy up anus, penis, scrotum. What's the in between bit? Perineum. They've got stuff. They've got colognes. They've got the Lawnmower 4.0. They've got things for your beard. They've got everything.
The beard trimmer.
A beard trimmer. You know that I use that. Probably look at me being like, you probably use a garden shears, big man. Run about like a Viking. No, they've got everything. We use code TWITHME for 20% off and free shipping. It's in the description as always. I've had a few people recently been like, mate, I've heard you talk about Manscaped. I finally bit in the bullet. And I say to these guys, welcome to the club. And then I say, I don't believe you. And they say, I really have. I say, I don't believe you. And they say, zip. And then they take down trousers and pants. And I say, glad to be of service. Tea With Me, 20% off and free shipping. Let's get into this episode. I've known this guy for many years. I'm a big fan, like so many other people. We think, he's not sure, but he's kind of sure, he's the biggest selling comedian in the UK. God knows what records he's broken. His stuff online is brilliant, but then when you go see him live, you realise that the live stuff is actually just as good. He is a legend of UK comedy. He's going to be back in Belfast. He's doing five SSE shows. He's coming back in September. He's loved here like he is in so many places. Just one of life's good guys as well. So we'll talk about his successes on this episode and how everyone's just so happy for him because he deserves it. He works hard. Works harder than anyone. And he's great. Ladies and gentlemen, please enjoy this Tea With Me episode with the one and only Paul Smith, not the fashion designer. We were talking just before this about the last time
we saw
you. We're on. This is what we're on now. The last time I saw you, you were having dinner in the Clayton Hotel in Belfast. You were doing the Ulster Hall that night.
Yeah.
Doing a headline show. I was there with my mate Dave, who runs Pug Uglies.
Dave Elliott, yeah.
Elliott, which is small comedy club upstairs above a bar. Dave said, it was like getting a girl to go out with him. He goes, go over and ask Paul if he'll do my club. So I went over. And Dave's kind of like at the bar, you know, like playing with his bald hair. I don't have hair. And I had to go over and I introduced Dave and I said, look, I said to Dave, he's doing the Ulster Hall, he's not going to want to, and he's on tour, he's not going to want to come and do it, but we'll ask him. And I said, if you want to drop in.
I'm just a soft bastard.
Because you were like, look, mate, I might do, but you know, I can't commit to it or anything. And I said to Dave, Dave's like, he's so sound, but I don't think he'll do it. And I said, I don't think he'll do it. And then the whole night was over at Pugs. And then you just like showed up after doing, you know, 1,000 people in the Ulster Hall. And it was like, you know, like, it's like someone showing up the five-a-side when the hour's up, you know, sort of like, and then, but you've got your boots, you know what I mean? And like a full kit. So Dave's like, I've got to get him on. So he brings you on and there was about, going from 1,000 people in the Ulster Hall, there's about 12, 13 people in pugs.
And they did not find me funny.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. It was like a tough night. You went on. People were sort of talking amongst themselves. And it was like, you know, you're chatting to people in the audience. And I've genuinely never seen anything like it, because you maybe did 20 minutes and the first 15, you were just talking to people. And then in the I was like, there's no energy in this room. And then it just started coming together, and then it hit, and the night was like almost over, and then you brought it back, and then everyone was into it, and it was just this like...
All I was interested in is that old guy who really didn't want to laugh at me. I'm staying here, so you fucking laugh at me.
That's what you said that. I think the guy was called Joe. I remember this.
I don't give a fuck. Yeah. You can all leave. You're staying and I'm staying. You're like, going to laugh at me.
It's like Mick Jagger doing a sold out Madison Square Garden and then just busking in a subway station. And it was great. And I love that when you're in a city and, you know, you could just go and do the tour show. But you go, I want to do spots, I want to do clubs and that kind of... I think if you lost that desire to do that kind of... You're not going to do it every night on tour, but there's something...
I think it's important as well to, like, I always try and shout out the local clubs and stuff when I'm on stage. Because I think a lot of people come to these tour shows, they don't realise there's comedy clubs, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Or, like, that's where you really do see the best comedy. So I like to do that as well.
I asked you, do you have many tour dates left on this tour? And you said it's winded down, you've 100 left.
We're on the downward slope.
How many dates is this whole tour?
I think we were on 215 shows, it was.
Over like a year? Is this like a year long tour?
Yeah. Technically, yeah, but there was a bit of a gap. So there was like, I think there was about 15 shows at the end of last year, and then it's all been since January. It kind of just went really hard.
And roughly, I mean, ballpark, how many people will this tour be?
I sold 250,000 tickets not long ago and bought myself a McLaren, didn't I?
Do you know, the biggest compliment I can give you is you're the only person who can get away with, you know, showing everyone. Because people that are into you, like myself and so many people, have seen you since you started putting out clips, and it's almost like this journey of comedy, but then the cars have just gone up, and you can post a vlog type video of you picking up the keys to a McLaren F1, and people are like, Paul, brilliant mate, well deserved, that kind of thing. If I posted a video of me buying myself a pair of shoes that were 120 quid, it'd be like, you fuck, you're out of touch, you cunt. Yeah. I remember you
were.
Is that
why you got them on?
My wife bought me these. She did, shout out to my wife. But yeah, that just shows how on board with you people are. But see, doing like a quarter, I want to talk to you about like the journey of like from when you start, because I did a gig with you about 13 years ago in the Crown Hotel in Liverpool. You had long hair.
You did. Do you know, can I, as an aside to that?
Yeah.
When you did that gig, right, you were supposed to come over about a year before that, when we were in a club called, where we started in a club called Envy.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get over for whatever reason. Yes. And there was a local act called Andrew Kearney, who doesn't do it anymore. He was one of them acts who was like, it was so hit and miss. He was just like, but he was just so keen. And he come down that night and he was like, can I get on, please? And we were like, no, Shane Todd's on. And then you turned out you couldn't make it. So he was like, please, can I get on? We said, you can only go on if you're Shane Todd.
Yeah.
So he went on. And all of it just kept telling jokes, but dying on his ass and going, I'm Shane Todd, everyone. And nobody told you that had happened. So... Just when everyone thought you were so shit, because loads of people thought he was you.
Imagine,
I was like, remember when that Shane Todd died on his ass? We were like, yeah.
Imagine the live at the Apollo Brookers were in that night.
I know. We did feel bad about it, and nobody told you. So when you came over, everyone was like, is anyone going to tell him? No, I'm not telling him.
Is that why only now am I building some sort of reputation in Liverpool? That's why I'm now figuring out why people come to see me in hot water. They're looking at each other like he looks
so different.
What's this guy called?
Andrew Kearney.
And he's not doing it anymore?
No.
Good. Good. You know what I'm going to start doing? I'm going to start doing gigs in Liverpool as good as I can and call myself Andrew Kearney and really set the bar so high for him and make him go back in the stand-up.
I don't think you'd have to do gigs that big, too.
Yeah. That's funny. I remember
he was a nice kid.
I remember that was when I'm disorganized, but I've got better at it, and I'm bad at it now. But I used to be really, really bad at it. And I remember asking for a gig in Hot Water, and this was like way back in the day. It would have been one of my first gigs outside of here, and getting a message from Binti or Paul, who run Hot Water, and it was like, "Mate, what time will you be down at?" And I was at home.
Like, yeah, that must have been the time.
I thought it was I got like the wrong month or something.
And I think that's why, because Vince was like, fucking prick.
But I still can't.
Like, you got to be Shane's hard now.
Do you know what I should have done that moment? Mate, I can't make it over. I'm sorry. I guarantee I wrote back, mate, traffic's mental. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't just go, I fucked this. I'd still be trying to do, something. That's funny. Because I remember there was this makes so much sense. There was a Twitter account set up of like a parody of me.
Yeah, I think that was
And it kept
that,
saying about, catch me in Liverpool tonight. For months after that went on. And he would be like, I have a DVD coming out. It's called I've Done Another Bad Set by Shane Hull.
But it was so funny though. I wish I had a video of it, because it was so funny, because he just kept progressively getting shitter and going, Shane Todd, everyone. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. I'm apologising.
I was like, maybe 13 years ago, it was in a hotel. Hot Water then. You had long hair.
Yeah.
Did you?
I've tried to black that out.
Or maybe it was Andrew Kearney pretending to be you.
He did have long hair, to be fair. No, I did have long hair. I thought that was me. Look, I was going, you mean trying to find yourself?
Yeah.
This is going to be my stage persona.
Yeah.
Didn't work out.
I remember that gig, because, it's one of the first ones I'd done outside of home. And I was buzzing for it, and it was great. It was great. But you sort of, gigs like come and go. So you sort of expect, maybe come back and do this at some point, but you don't expect Hot Water to kind of turn into that thing.
Mm.
And when you look back at gigs you did back then, a lot of people you look at on the lineup, like that guy, aren't doing stand-up anymore. But that was like you, Adam Rowe. There's a couple other guys I remember that were on that are still kind of gigging.
Yeah.
But
why
did Hot Water as a club take off so much? Why did that stick and so many other clubs?
I think it's much the same as, like, if you look at the Belfast, like, your comedy scene, everyone in the UK is like, obviously over back in England, sorry, is talking about because it's mad here, isn't it? Like, you all sell arenas. Lunacy, do you know what I mean? Like, everyone here is like massive though.
It's like there used to be a vending machine in my school that, and it was like in the PE department, it was way away from everywhere else, and if you put any coin into it, you could pull a button down to get your change back, and it would give you double what you put in. But I discovered this and never told anyone.
Why?
Because it was giving me money back, and I was like, they'll fix it. I said, if I tell someone, they'll fix it, and it'll stop.
Oh, yeah,
that's enough. Like our comedy scene here. We're trying not to tell anyone about it.
I know.
Because we're doing arenas. Yeah. So we're like, don't let anyone else question it. Don't do anything. Just get as much out of it as we can, and let's keep going. But do you think Liverpool's like that too?
Well, I think we had the kind of, because we didn't realise it was getting, how big it was getting, like the club. And we were all just like, because it was a Sunday night club at first, and then it went to Sunday and Friday, then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so it was a full weekend. But like, still a small club and the fees weren't great, but like, so we couldn't really, and we had the competition in the city, so like people were putting embargoes on us. We were struggling to get acts at certain times. So we were all just gigging. I don't think I missed a gig there in in 9 years, and it got to the point where it was every night. I was just gigging every single night,
right?
And we were all just there all the time.
Were you full time stand up?
Yeah, just full time stand up. But like, it wasn't the best money, but it was still full time. I wasn't doing anything else. So it was me, Roe, Rob Thomas, Tony Carroll. It's all like scouse acts.
Yeah,
just getting loads of stage time.
Yeah,
and in a place where we were kind of comfortable enough to go, well, if I fuck up, I can do anything I want here, because if I fuck up, they're not going to go, you're not coming back next week.
Yeah.
So I can just go on it and feel free to just say whatever the fuck I want. And it just kind of, gave us all that freedom. And once one of us was getting better, like, I work my shows out now. I did this by accident about 4 years ago. I filmed my special in November. And then I never do tour shows in December, because I always do the Christmas runs of the club, because it's good for them. It's just like, because they're a bit mad, and there's like fucking seven shows a day.
Yeah.
So it's always me, Adam Rowe, like Troy Hawk, just like just Danny McLaughlin, just killers. So I'm like, got to the start. The film was show in November. Got to the 1st of December. It was like six shows a day. Like, and we're doing sets and we're swapping around. So I'm having to close some shows and stuff. And I thought, fuck, I've burnt all my material. I've got no material. I've just put a DVD out.
Right.
And it's on sale.
Yeah.
So now I can't go on and do this stuff because I'm quite like self-conscious about doing that.
Same.
So I was like, shit, what am I going to do? So I thought, I'm going to have to just do new stuff. I'm going to have to go on after Adam Rowe and Danny Mac and do new stuff.
Right.
And hope everyone doesn't walk out going, it's not as good in real life,
yeah,
is he?
Yeah, yeah.
So I went on and I was fucking about for the first one. By the end of the first day, I was like, I've got a solid 20. Like, it's just a brand new 20. And then by the end of that month, I had a new hour because I had to.
Right.
And then I was like, I would never have chosen to do that.
Do you mean to kind of improvise more, riff more, and not have
riff
material?
More, and because you throw yourself in at the deep end, you have to kind of raise the bar gets raised, and you have to kind of meet it. Do you know what I mean? So if you're following Adam Rowe and Danny Mac doing new stuff, that new stuff very quickly has to get very good.
Yeah,
or you're just gonna get booed off the stage. So it just seems to work. So that's how I do my new shows now. I just get on them December Christmas shows where everyone's a cunt.
Do you think about the fact that Belfast has such a good scene at the minute, Liverpool, places like Glasgow. Do you think that's like a like an industrial working class city?
I think
it's
Docklands. I've got a mad theory about the fact that it's like kind of you got, because in a Docklands city you get a lot of mishmash of people, got a lot of mishmash of men together. And I'm not trying to be sexist or anything, but historically it would be men. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the way men seem to, because we're all dickheads and children.
Yeah.
We can't like be open and go, oh, it's quite kind of scary being in a new place, isn't it?
Right.
So the best thing for us to do is go, well, the only way we all know we're not equal and we're not going to fight is that I call you a dickhead, you call him a dickhead. We all just take the piss out of each other. And then once you've learned, you can take the piss and have the piss taken out here in a way that you can cope with. It kind of just settles out. That's where the sense of humour comes from.
You know, that's such an interesting theory.
Mm.
That you're right, because the stuff that works best in comedy clubs and online is that kind of like quick fire replying to people. You do it better than anybody else. It is bouncing off the audience and kind of taking the piss, but in a respectful enough way.
Yeah,
you know
the
line?
Yeah, there's a line, being cheeky.
And that, you're right, that it is kind of like being like in a workplace or something like that. And maybe in places like London, I know it's easy to say like, oh, the scene in London, great gigs in London, but it's just massive. There's two or three great gigs. but if you did that there, I think if you went in and were like, all right, mate, where'd you get that coat? So people will be like, this is horrifying abuse. You go to jail. Good a deal. People be like, do not assume this is a coat. This is a shack. You know, you go to prison for that. But like, I think people are more people. That is more the way, because when I go to Liverpool or Newcastle or Glasgow or a few of these other places, I don't really feel like I'm away from home.
No,
whereas when I'm in London and a few other places, I feel far from home. Even though, like,
I feel the same. Absolutely the same. I feel much more at home in Ireland than I do down south.
Have you like, you know, got into that Liverpool way of being in hot water and doing solo shows and that kind of thing where you just take the piss out of the audience? And have you ever gone to like another place in that mode and find the audience to be
I get away with it a bit more now because people kind of come because they've seen that. Yeah. If anything, it's the other way around, whatever, don't do it enough. People go, oh, you didn't fucking take the piss out of me. And we're like, you were 800 seats back.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know you were there. People get really genuine.
He's not taking the piss out of my shoes.
I messaged you before the show and John was in. Why didn't you shout John out? What do you want me to do, mate? The fuck am I supposed
See when you're doing a big show, see if you read out all the requests people have for, like, my birthday. Allison just got promoted.
Yeah.
See if you read those out, you wouldn't have time for the show.
No.
You'd
and
just be
not only that, if she shows Alison's birthday out, and because 6,000 people statistically, a lot of them people have got a birthday, and it's my birthday too.
Yeah.
I made the mistake of doing it when I first started touring because I'm a soft bastard, as I said. So I get these messages, and I wasn't used to getting like messages like that. So I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I've got Alison in, but then they don't say fuck all back, because they don't know that's happening. So my mate's going, like, and Alison's like, oh, I'm like, where's Alison? Is it Alison?
Yeah.
Is Alison's birthday? It's my birthday. Oh, fuck off, you.
That's- yeah. Me and, speaking of like shout outs gone wrong, me and William Thompson did a one-off radio show on local commercial radio last weekend, playing like rave music and giving people shout-outs. Someone wrote it, some like woman wrote it, because I didn't have time to like look at on the WhatsApp in the radio studio, look at people's profile, what age are they, that kind of thing. Some message comes in, it says, you two sound like you're broadcasting from your wee bedroom. So like a bit of a slag. I reply on radio live, I said, we're not doing it from our wee bedroom. We're broadcast from your ma's bedroom. And I mean, Willie, like, hey, and play a song. Text comes in as soon as that song's playing straight away. My mother died a long time ago. I was like, Jesus. And then me and William are sitting there. I'm like, we're going to get in so much shit for this. Then another, the woman texts again and wrote, but this was her favorite song. And it was like Hathaway, What Is Love or something. So like, have you, you know, in with that crowd interaction and that kind of thing and knowing where the line is, have you ever done something like totally innocuous or responded to someone and like got like quite a bit of shit for it or put a clip out that...
Well, that a clip went out yesterday. It's from a couple of years. The clip where the guy in the front row had cancer.
Yeah.
And I just immediately went, wow, you selfish prick for bringing that up.
Yeah.
I was like, well, how fucking, why have you got to make this about you? Yeah. We all know you've got cancer. We've seen your Facebook. Yeah. Like, oh, it's back. It's malignant. Oh. And you know, when your head going, where are you going with this? But you can't, like, I could see him laughing and I could see his daughters laughing at it. So like, and I could feel in the room, it's going mad. So I'm like, you play in the room, right? Because yes. If it had gone the other way and gone, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that, mate. It just would have created such a tension.
Of course.
That I would have never been able to break. So I had to just immediately go that way. I could hear Danny, you know, it's funny when you can hear Danny Mac backstage just crying.
Right,
so
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, like, this is all right. This come off stage. And I messaged Rudy, the camera guy, and I was like, did you get that? He was like, yeah. I went, I'm not sure about that one, you know. But then his daughter messaged me immediately going, thank you so much for that.
For breaking their attention.
In like a year.
Yeah.
So like, I thought, oh, Sam, put it out. But because you clip, so like you got 90 seconds to get that in. So you're taking pauses out and shit like that.
Right.
So I'm like, fuck's sake, man. Fucking, I don't know about this. Yeah, so we put it out. And fucking Blair from the club, because he's a fucking knobhead, he loves an algorithm. He's just, he put too far, ? And I, you fucking knobhead. You're asking for, he went, watch these bad comments drive this right up here. But he put it out again yesterday and people are going mad, like people are going, and then people are defending it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it does help the clip, but fuck me, that, it terrifies me.
The only important thing there is, was the guy laughing?
Oh, he loved it. Exactly. He come back, exactly. I got him, he came back. That's to right. The next time I was there, I put him in a gag, because he's in full remission. Okay, I got a picture with him.
Yes.
But people don't give a fuck about that.
No,
like, he goes on the threads and like defends me on the threads,
right?
Aid. So like, and his daughters are all defending me, but like, no, it's terrible. He said cancer. I was like, wasn't a joke about cancer.
Yes.
A joke about him being selfish or bringing it up.
Yes,
that wasn't a joke about. There was another one with again. I did Barrow and the show had started, and I'd been on a couple of minutes, and I'm like just chatting, like saying hello and stuff like that, and then a guy just gets, I've told this before on podcast, but a guy just gets wheeled in, so slowly, though.
Yeah.
It's like so, have you seen it? Yeah. Like so, so painfully slowly.
It seemed, to only see the clip and not the context, seemed like you just started your set.
I have.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so I've been on, like, literally 2 minutes, said hello, welcome to the show. Yeah. Then that happens, and I'm like... Sonny's getting pulled in, and there's only disabled space around the middle of the front row. He's getting pulled into the space, and he's like, he's
it's a red rag, dude.
Yeah, yeah. And they're all looking, and I could just see them all going, like, what do you all think I'm gonna say? Like, what do you think I'm gonna say? So, and so, but he's great. Like, his name's Neely, messaged me all the time, though. And I said, oh, mate, you know, right, he went, I've been better. And I was like, thank fuck for that. He saved my life there. But then
if he says no to that, that's a
mate, no, I'm not happy. So I carried, but I carried on talking because I'm a knobhead. There's two lads and a girl in the front row. So I thought, I'm going to move away from that because I've got away with murder. Yeah. So I started talking to these people. And it's like, so I was like, I said, is this your missus? And he went, no, that's my mum. But she looked quite young, this woman. So when she was tiny, I went, fuck off, you're his mum. He's fucking massive. And she was, I know, yeah. I went, fucking hell, he must have done some damage coming out. Like, you're lucky you don't look like him, right? And everyone just said, ah! And I was like, shit, I've gone too far.
It's the subsequent debates in the comments is the wild thing.
Yeah.
I put out a clip from this podcast not that long ago where I said to two guests, I said, would you rather, and this is the way, verbatim is kind of the way I said it, would you rather be bummed by like a small dick for 5 minutes or a massive dick for 1 minute? I think that was the question. And William,
small dick for 5 minutes, definitely.
Well, the more, all these people kicked off, a lot of people kicked off about it. And then I kind of held my hands and I realized I shouldn't, the one option should have been the real answer, which is a medium-sized dick for 2.5 minutes, right? But it kicked off massively. All the comments of like, you know, this is homophobic, this, and I shouldn't reply to comments. I was like, you know, the guys that I'm asking, like, are both not, one of the guys is not heterosexual. Right, so I was like, I'm not, it's not a conversation between three straight guys. You know, there's a bit of a mix here. And the comments under it that started off like all good, and then there was a few negative ones. There was a little bit of back and forth. And then a subsection of these comments just became like a Royal Rumble for these gay guys. Being like, some guys like, you know, I find this really homophobic. And then another guy's like, I'm gay, I love this. And then another guy's like, well, you shouldn't love this being gay. Like, and this guy, who do you, why are you the spokesman gay for gay guys? And it was just a big gay storm. And I was right in the middle of it. And I've never been happier than just sitting. I was like in a tornado of like a big gay debate. And I loved it. And then there's these gay guys DMing me being like, yo, we've got your back. And then there's cheeky ones being like, I've got your back. Eggplant emoji, you know, like some gay guy was like,
eggplant emoji.
So I got some message, some guy being like if it ever came to it, he's like, I'd suck you off. And I was like, that's not relevant to what we're saying here. But it, I mean, it's just, the worst thing you can do, I suppose, is get into comments. And sometimes I find it hard not to reply and be like, I don't know how you don't see this, or if you have done something wrong. I'm like, I don't know. It's hard to, like, obviously you should just not say anything.
Yeah, the lunatics. You know?
But yeah, people will, a key word, like your cancer thing, where like you
relieve the tension. It's an emotive thing. I can see why. It's an emotive thing, isn't it? But like, you're not watching this stuff.
What do you think was there a clip you put out that kind of was the first thing to like blow up for you? And do you remember what that clip was?
Yeah, I know exactly what it was. It was, and it's basically what it was when we first started filming at the club. So we didn't have cameras or nothing. So Paul was like, I'm going to start filming clips. And I was like, no one's going to watch that. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, no. And he said, we're going to film. So they had two camera guys in. So I said, well, let's make it look like good, like live at the Apollo as much as we can. So while I was on, they were filming the audience. So like cutaways. So I was joking with people in those early clips, like all the laughs you can see, they're mine. So I had to go on. There's 10 acts on a Monday night and they're all getting like 5 minute videos. So I had to just go on MC at the start, and then between the acts I was just doing as little as I possibly could to get the next act on.
Yep.
So it goes on, this guy had come off and I knew the next guy was like, he did one liners, so I'm about to bring him on. A guy gets up around the middle of the front row and just goes to the toilet. So I thought, I'm gonna have to stay here till he comes back. But when you're MCing, you know, that's the most difficult thing I'm seeing, when you haven't got a fixed time.
Yes.
So people go, how do you get all these things when you're MCing? How come you pick on people so quick? And I don't, it's a fucking trick. One, you only see the best things I say because I put them out as clips.
Yeah.
So, two, like if you come to the club, people don't notice it, but you'll go, oh, what's your name? Oh, I'm Jane. How are you, Jane? What do you do, Jane? I work in admin. Oh, that's lovely. Move on. No one remembers you've done that. It's just so like you got that option when you've got like a 10 minute, but when you've, I thought, I don't know how long he's gonna be. So but I just got really lucky and I picked on this guy and I went, what do you do? And he went, I work at Jaguar. And his mate went like that, and I went, why has he just looked at you like a lion then? And his mate went, I went, you defo sell beef here. Like
right.
That. Yeah, and his mate went, ah! I went, he fucking does, doesn't he? He sells beef. And everyone just went mad. And because he had the dead nice watch on and all that. And I was like, what car have you got? And he went, a Range Rover. I went, you defo sell beef here. So I'm jumping around and everyone's going fucking mad. And that was it. That was the clip.
Yeah.
Because it got, Jaguar Land Rover's massive in Liverpool. So it got like shared around there loads. But I went away for my mum's 60th to Portugal. And I came back after like a week. And Paul was messaging me going, this clip's gone mad, you know. Right. And I was like, yeah, you just don't, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yep.
And I came back, and then I got back late, took the baby to Tesco to get some milk and bread and that. And it was like three fucking mad scally lads just followed me around Tesco's, and I was like, I'm getting mugged in Tesco with a baby. And then they were like at the end of the aisles, and I kept, every time they were like always at the end, just looking down. I was like, what the fuck is happening? And then a woman stopped me for a picture. And then someone else, and then someone else, and then people, they came over. And it was like a queue of people for pictures, and I'm there with the baby thinking, and yeah. He's just, it's I'm all right with it now.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is weird at the time, because you don't know how to be.
Yeah.
And you're just going,
yeah.
for selfies.
Two cameras going at one time, you don't know which one to look at. Yeah, yeah. And you're like, yeah, please yeah. Don't look the one when I get the wrong camera. You know? But yeah, so when that, did you, is it difficult to like, do you have a thing where you go, oh, I want to put out a clip a week? Is it like a formula type thing?
I don't think about that at all.
Right.
Don't do any of that. I'll be honest with you. There's no rhyme. I keep messaging him going, because the stuff from Christmas, well, because I'll message him sometimes. If I do the club especially, I'll go, the boss bit there, that was a funny bit. I message him every so often, where's that bit? Oh yeah, it's in the queue. I'm like, that was December. He goes, yeah.
Oh, right,
like,
okay.
So I think I can literally not work now for 3 years and still get a clip a day out.
Right.
Of stuff no one's seen.
So you're like, you got a vault? You know the way Prince had like just, a vault it's all of
somewhere.
Stuff?
I don't know where it is. It's all somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't actually own any of it. I don't own myself at all. Right. I think I'm the most stupid business person ever. Like, someone is very rich.
I don't know if you've seen the Elvis movie, but at the end, yeah, when he's in Vegas.
I watched that.
You and Hot Water with cheeseburgers.
I watched that movie missing. She was like, you know, this is you, don't you? And I was like, oh no. It's going to end the fucking just sticking NDMA in me and pushing me onto the stage every night. Fifth show of the night. And I'm like, what do you do? I can't do this anymore.
And you have no response to it. You're just asking them, what do you do? But you know, people would still love that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Oh, God. I know. I, that was a horrifying moment. What's his name? Captain Tom.
Captain Tom. Paul and Bindi just hit you with a backdated bill.
Because he would do like some of the shit he does in that film. Paul Blair would definitely do. You know, like when he makes the badges go, and I ate Elvis. Yeah, I'm surprised he hasn't got high.
And all the threats. He probably sent those scallies out in Tesco.
He probably starts putting negative comments and going, fucking bad this, how he said this about cancer, innit? Just to drive up the algorithm. He's a fucking genius, to be fair.
That's mad that, like, because we forget with doing the podcast, we've done that many episodes of this podcast that, you know, when we first started doing it, you'd maybe have a clip from a podcast. But with TikTok and that algorithm picking up things that are so short, you probably have like 20 things from an hour long conversation, and it could just be a sentence.
Yeah.
Like some of the best stuff on TikTok or Instagram nowadays is like a sentence nearly. Mm. So if you are willing to go back, you probably, there's a treasure trove of stuff. But if you were doing, because the way you boys were doing Hot Water, that's one thing over here looking at it, I was always like so jealous of and so much admiration for, was Hot Water at different venues, to the point where you'd be like, I'm here at 7:30 and then I've got to run down the street and do 10 minutes
there.
That was
always cool. Like,
And that was, because that's like,
pass each other on the way.
Yeah. Just like a wee high five. You just get, what would it be? Because like in a marathon, you're getting a Lucozade Sport. You're just getting a Greggs running past.
No, it's always a pint.
Yeah.
Pints again or stuff, I don't
do you,
know.
Do you drink on tour now?
Sometimes, I've been trying not to. I'm training for a fight, so I'm trying not to. I can't resist the Guinness, especially here. Because you just can't get Guinness like that. I know everyone says it, but you just can't get Guinness like that back home.
Yeah.
So I come here and I'm like, I'll just have one Guinness, and then I fucking get
messy. When is your fight?
November the 4th.
MMA?
MMA. Full.
And it's going to... Like,
I keep getting paranoid because I've got the shittest girly hands ever.
Right.
And people keep commenting on it because I'm hitting pads and stuff every day.
Yeah.
My hands are always like this.
Yeah.
So it looks like I've got the fucking DTs or something. So I just picked that gun. I was like, oh, fucking hell, look, I'm a baghead.
How many people will be there for the fight?
I don't know. It's in the AO Arena, so it's like 18,000 seater. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how many he's going
to... Because we did Comedians Charity Boxing, and that was to 1,000 people.
Yeah.
And, like, we're still talking about, like, any excuse to, like... It was the best thing, and people probably watch or, like, stop talking about that. it's the because it's the adrenaline is similar to stand-up, but it's a totally new thing. It just like it consumed everyone. Did it consumed our lives?
Yeah, because Paddy was gonna. Paddy was over. He was gonna come and do some pads and spar with me a little bit. But
yeah, I think he just. You think he went to spar when he was over there? Went to our spar when he was over there. I think that was it.
He'd have been disappointed. Our spars are not as good as yours.
You're right. Are they not?
No.
What is it our spars has? This is a question I wanted to ask you. What does our spar have?
Well, I know in Southern Ireland they have like delis and stuff. And
yes.
The food in those spars is better than restaurants back home. I swear I had like 3 sandwiches a day out of one of them spas one day.
I'm just picturing you sitting down to a jambon with like proper, like, you know, like proper napkin, proper cutlery, being a dish like this. Down south though, they have, and you know, United Ireland gets debated a lot, but I don't think people ever consider this. See the cheese they have in their delis? I don't know what it is, but it's a lot of, it's like grated cheese, but it's a lot of different colours.
Oh, just mixed cheese product.
Mixed, there's a Leinster in there, or Leicester, in Leinster. There's a cheddar, there's a baby bell, you know, the like, so why are they, that's what I'm saying, and is this some cover-up, why are they so, you know, what's going on with the cheese? I would need to find that out before I made a decision on anything.
On any kind of unification of the country.
It's strange, like it's very...
You want to unify the cheese first.
Yeah, they won't talk about it. They will not talk about it. You ask someone, you know, when you're doing Dublin next or whatever, just ask the audience. There'll be a deathly silence.
What's going on with the cheese?
What's going on with the cheese? We stick to just
people walk out.
We just have the one cheese. You know what I mean? We'll tell you what the cheese. But anyway,
it's just called cheese.
We just have cheese, just straight up cheese.
Fucking cheese.
You mentioned earlier about you saying about the wanting the cameras in hot water to look like live at the Apollo.
Yeah, we don't do that anymore. We decided against that.
What do you?
Because if we took the audience out again because everyone goes, I don't want to be in that video.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, even, it makes even if they've,
like, because
right?
You put signs of going, you are agreeing to be in the video by being in the audience.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying this is bad, but the amount of people going, it's giving me mental health problems, that.
Yeah.
And you go, ah, fuck, bastard.
Yeah, or like Liverpool would be the same as Belfast. There'd be a lot of guys coming up to me being like, mate, I can't blur my face. I'll give you 50 quid to blur my face because I shouldn't be, you know, out. But I want to ask you about Live at the Apollo because you're doing 250,000 tickets. I don't know who, if anyone, sells more tickets than you in the UK.
Some people must do. I mean, I don't know.
But when you look at Live at the Apollo and stuff, you know, I automatically go, well, why are you not being offered your own TV show and this and that, or have you no interest in that?
I'm a bit funny about Live at the Apollo. I just use that as an example. Yeah, but we chatted about it. I chatted to a guy about it who pitched me for it, and they were interested, but I said that I wouldn't do any material on it.
Right.
Because I don't feel comfortable letting them have control of my material. I've done this for 18 years, and I structure those stories in a particular way. So if you're going to start cutting bits out, I don't trust that you know what you're doing.
Right.
So, like, I'm not, and this is not me slagging anyone off. I'm just saying,
you're
like,
absolutely right.
I feel like you got your own specific voice. So I've got really good comedians who give me points on stuff, and I kind of just, it never fits in with what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of a bit funny about that. I don't like them having the control.
They could represent your stuff in a different way.
Yeah, they cut it in different ways. And so I said, would you consider going and doing crowd work? Which I considered for a minute, and I was like, oh, that would be quite interesting doing it. But then I've got nothing to gain from it because my videos get more views than Live the Apollo.
Yeah.
And I decide how they're cut together. And also, like, it's a weird situation, Live the Apollo. You're in there, it's the daytime when they film it. The lights are all up in the audience.
It's daytime?
Yeah, they film it in the day. So because they film them all in one day, don't they? So there's like 5 shows in a row.
Oh, okay.
So like it's a tired crowd. They're not really, again, you're going to have the same problem with people. Because if I pick on someone and get a really good bit, but I make someone look a bit stupid, they're not going to be on a bit on Live at the Apollo getting made to look stupid. Or
and there might be a celebrity.
If I've called them a nonce.
if you make Ainsley Harry cry or something.
Yeah.
Your food's shit.
You're really constrained in where you're going to go. Yeah. Like, and what you're going to say. Like, The best bit, like, again, going back to that, if that thing happened with the cancer, which was absolutely the right thing to do in the room, if that happened, at Live the Apollo.
They wouldn't put that.
Absolutely. No, they'd stop the show. I think they'd just stop and go, no. And then I'd never be invited back.
Yeah.
So I'm a bit like, just a bit dubious. I've had a few people approach me about TV stuff, but I've said I won't do stand-up on telly. Just unless you want to put my special out.
In its
entirety. Then you can buy that if you want to buy it.
But it's funny how, like, when you start out, I don't know about you, but personally me and the comedians I'm mates with here, that's all we talked about was, you know, the time was Michael McIntyre's Comedy Roadshow or Live at the Apollo. That was the pinnacle. That was validation. That was like, I'll know I've achieved something when I've done stand-up on TV on a show like that. And then over time, especially nowadays, that changes where you look, I personally look at something like that as like a, oh, that would be like a nice bonus. That would be like a, that'd be cool to do that.
Yeah.
But I used to actively pursue stuff like that so much to the point where I made my act as TV friendly as possible.
Yeah.
And it's not, and was, you know, like I'm not, you wouldn't watch my set and go, he couldn't be on TV. There's some stuff where you can't use that and that. But the second I felt personally that I stopped trying to be what I thought a TV producer would like, then I started to enjoy my own stand-up so much more.
It's too difficult to do that. You can't really... Like, they asked me, because the guy was really pushing, going, what would you... Like, you must... I said, I haven't got any material I could do on Live at the Apollo. Yeah. Like, none. And they were like, you must have. I said, I'll cut the most... Live at the Apollo bit of my last show out and send it to you. Right. This has never been released, so you could use it if you want to use it. And it was a piece about getting pegged by my missus. A really graphic piece about what it feels like to be pegged by your missus.
Yeah.
And he just went, yeah, you're right, yeah. He said, this is nothing else. I said, well, the rest of it's about taking DMT. So, like, if you want to go down that road, that's worse than this bit.
Yeah.
So he was like, oh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't, it's stand-up's not fun like that. It's just no fun.
I've other questions now.
You ask away. This is how I know.
How was that?
Small dick for 5 minutes is much better.
What size was it?
Well, do you know what? I have a good story about this, right?
I thought you might take it out of your pocket.
I carry it around. It was probably the greatest day in my life, not being pegged, which was actually better than I thought it was going to be. But we were talking about this. They sponsor Freddie Quinn's podcast, and they're called Taylor's Toys. So we ended up getting some stuff off them. Mm-hmm. And they sent it across as like a thing, and I was like, oh, fucking hell. So I got it out, and I was like, it's like 6-inch. Dildo with like thing with around the end, but I've always said, and I've said it on stage, I've said my dick's 6.2 inches, leans a little bit to the left. I've said it a few times in jokes, so I was like, my dick's bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, yeah, I think it is, yeah. So I actually got a ruler and measured me there, and it was bigger than I thought it was. So I had an extra, like, I was 7.4 inches, yeah. And I was like, so I've gained 1.2 inches on me. Sorry, I could have said 9.6.
Let me open that into a subsection.
So I'll do you for a minute.
Give me a go on your McLaren. You can do it for two. Let me ask you this.
Go.
To know the actual size, do you not think? And I don't want to get into it like I did with the southern cheese. Different size every day.
Different size every... No, well, I mean... Depending on if you're erect or not, yeah.
No.
Your dick is...
Dependent on climate?
No, I don't think that affects your erection.
Altitude?
Well, if you're at the top of a mountain, it's smaller. I was at sea level at the time.
If you looked and you were...
At the top of a mountain.
If you were in Machu Picchu?
Yeah. I would go to Machu Picchu.
I don't know if I've said that right. It'd be a different measure. There's no... I've said this before.
Is this how you're trying to justify having a small willy? That you live at
Yeah,
altitude?
But if I was to go below sea, it'd be massive. I just mean...
If you went in that submarine down to the Titanic.
I think... at least...
That's what happened to that submarine. All the dicks got that big.
That's how they'll find them. But what I'm saying is, I'll admit it. Some days I go, oh no, ruins my day when I look, you know, like, oh. And then there's some days where I go, oh, happy days. Happy days. I think it's fair, but yeah. Maybe that's just me. But
okay. No, well, I don't, actually don't know. That's interesting.
Right.
I will look into that further.
So, please, so you realise yours is
bigger. It was
6 inches,
that was to answer your question, but yeah. Yeah, just it allowed me to discover I had a bigger dick than I've always thought I had.
Right.
Which is a great day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, maybe it was just at sea level and it was in a good mood.
Yes.
But yeah. I don't think it was in a good mood because I was about to get bummed by my missus, so it's probably trepidation.
And what's the chat after that then?
Oh, there's no chat.
Right.
There's no one wants to see the carnage. There's a lot of poo. Yeah. A lot of poo. More poo than you've ever been comfortable showing someone else. I thought I was clean. I really made an effort there. I got the shower head and sprayed it up my bum.
Right, okay.
Just to, like,
yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm. Yeah, there's more poo than I thought it was going to be. White sheets as well, bad.
So anything coming up or anything good? thank you for sharing that with me.
You made me comfortable enough to share.
I genuinely thought you were going to say you made me come, and I was like... If I knew that, and then we had to keep doing the pot, I feel it takes so much for me to just feel weird. But if I knew you had just come and we were just talking face to face, I'd feel weird about it. I'll be honest, I'd feel weird about it. I don't know, because it would be like...
When you feel happy, though?
No, I'd be more happy than
proud
sad.
Of yourself.
But I wouldn't... I would then see that as a gift that I had. Like,
that's
can I make guys come without touching it?
Yeah.
I want to ask you about more about the idea that, you know, you're selling that many tickets, you're doing that big of a tour. Do you think, I look at someone like Jerry Cinnamon, right? And I'm a huge fan of Jerry Cinnamon, not just his music, but the way he is so independent.
Yeah.
And I see you as exactly the same, and that you have, well, I thought you were totally independent, now I know that Paul and Binti own 100% of it.
100%.
You're the least independent
guy. That McLaren's not even mine.
Yeah.
just let me get a picture in front of it.
They own that poo. They came out, you know what I mean? That's theirs.
And
they
the
scooped
dick.
That up
and
after.
And me misses.
But do you think that people, that helps people really buy into you because they know that, look, this is a guy that doesn't have these big broadcasters behind him.
Yeah.
Big agencies and that kind of thing.
The nicest thing, I'm not sure how much people realise that, to be honest. I think in the world now, everyone's being consumed through social media, so everyone seems kind of the same. But I think the nice thing is about, like, comedians like it. Kind of,
yeah.
It's kind of, a lot of comedians are really, like, nice about, like, how successful you are. I mean, that's to your face, I don't have to be in a company behind your back. But people seem genuinely happy that I'm doing well, and, like, that's a really nice, it's nice from comedians and people that you work with when you feel like that.
Yeah, that's almost like, you know, you get a stand ovation with the audience, but, and you'd be like, yeah, it's good, and then your mate who was watching the show could be, you had a really good set tonight,
yeah.
And that's like the thing where you're like, especially if it's a mate, you can bank on giving you their real opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
that's
like,
what I mean. I always remember, like, as I was saying before, when I did that bit and I heard Danny Mac laughing, like, mm-hmm. screaming, laughing backstage.
Yeah.
And he's a hard man to make laugh.
Yeah.
So I was like...
Or comics, like, being at the back of the room.
Yeah.
I did Dublin Comedy Festival last year and Tommy Tiernan was at the back of the room. Now, he was there for about, I think he was just walking through, but he was there. You know what I mean? He was laughing. It was about something he'd heard outside. And he walked in laughing. And then he stopped laughing as he walked through and walked on. But he was.
Is this comedy now?
But he's a fan. You know? He's not. Have you got, like, say, props from a really well known comedian or a comedian you're a massive fan of that meant a lot to you?
An amazing moment was I got a random phone call. And I was like, I didn't know who it was. And I missed the call and I rang it back. And I knew immediately as soon as the voice said it was John Bishop. And I was like, I went, hello. And he answered I won't do an impression. But he answered the phone. He went, hello. He went, is that Paul? I went, yeah. He went, it's John Bishop. I went, hello, mate, you're okay. Like that. I was like, He went, I'm not going to lie to you, Paul. I'm having a shit. I'll call you back in 5 minutes. And I was, it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. Phone my wife straight away going, John Bishop's just called me while he was having a shit. But yeah, he called, and we spoke for us. I'd met him once before. I met him on the first gig I ever did outside Liverpool. He didn't even remember it. We ended up chatting about it. And I went on stage and I was a bit nervous in Saddleworth just outside Manchester. And I went on and a guy heckled me for being Scouse immediately. And I kind of didn't really deal with it and just did me set and I did all right. Mm-hmm. And then he went on at the end doing 45. He was meant to be doing like a little Edinburgh preview. And he just went, before I start, who picked on a Scouse lad? And just annihilated this guy. And I remember thinking, because John Bishop in a room is phenomenal.
Yeah,
he was
an
amazing MC. I saw him MC a few times. He was so quick. And I just remember watching it going, how is he doing this? Like, how is he just making this up on the spot? And it's just killing it. So he just destroyed this guy. So he called me up and was just like, it wasn't even like being like condescending. He was just like asking me how I was and how I was dealing with it all. And it was just such a nice thing for someone to do. And he checks in from time to time.
Yeah.
Same with Jason Manford as well. He's been dead lovely.
Yeah.
They're probably the maddest too.
Do you, or let me ask you this, who has anyone like shared a video or have you seen like an Instagram like from
mate,
someone that's
Jeremy
made you...
Piven followed me.
From Entourage?
From Entourage, right.
He does stand up.
Mate, well, and I was like, I fucking love Entourage. So
yeah,
I was
me
like,
too.
Fuck, I'm like fanboying. Fuck, I was like,
Ori Gold.
Jeremy Piven's just followed me. I was like 10 minutes before I was going to go on stage and I was like, fuck. Jeremy Piven's follow me. I should have messaged him.
If you're going to tell me he messaged you back, said, I'm having a shit.
Well, no, mate. It's bad. As I messaged him, I was like, mate, thank you so much for the follow. Big fan. This big, long message was incredible. Like, that, I appreciate it so much. Seen. And I was like, he's seen it? Never messaged me back.
Never messaged you back. Message him right now. Paul. Message him right now. Please message him right now. And just say... How are the gigs going, lad? Just say, how are the gigs going, lad?
Yeah, mate, you know what? I'm half scared that he's unfollowed me. Hang on.
Oh, my God.
If he's unfollowed me, I'll be devastated.
No, okay, don't...
I'm going to look, I'm going to look.
Don't... Jeremy, comma, hope all's well, lad. Question mark.
Look, yeah, I'm not going to lie, my man, I'm fanboying hard, yeah. Thank you for the follow, I'm a massive fan. Hands together, hands up, heart emoji.
I think you came on way too strong.
I knew I did, and it's seen, and then no response.
Okay, don't reply.
Yeah, he's still following me, though. You follow each other on Instagram. Hey, big boy.
Yeah. I'm doing tea with me. Just say, hope the gigs are going well, lad. Question mark.
How are the gigs going? Yeah. Hands together. Heart. Muscle emoji.
Yes, yeah. If he replies, we're doing a video chat. We're doing a video chat. I had... I wish I could say I had someone of that level, but I did a BBC TV stand-up thing during lockdown. It was called Stand Up for Live Comedy on it was on BBC 3, and then it was shown on like BBC 2 at like 11 o'clock on a Wednesday night. And I still kind of thought, you know, this is going to be good. I had a good set out. I went, it's going to be good. It's going to open doors. The one thing that came from it was I checked Twitter the next morning, and I had a tweet from a big name and Twitter verified celebrity, Nick Knowles. This guy, something like, this guy was great, loved the set. I hit him with a follow, waited for the follow back, send him a DM. Nick, appreciate it, mate. I'll be gigging in London soon if you fancy it. He pivoted me.
He pivoted me.
Imagine we get to somehow do a show in the future and Piven and Knowles are front row. Piven and Knowles,
just them two.
They would hit it off massively. I tell you, I know this guy who was a producer on BBC, and he vaguely knew Nick Knowles. He'd worked on a show with him, because I mentioned this to this guy, and he went, I got a Nick Knowles story. He said, I vaguely knew Nick Knowles. We were doing a show together, and on the last day, Nick Knowles was like, I had a bag with him, and he's like, I got some new headshots done, like professional portrait headshots. And the guy went, oh, nice one. Nick Knowles showed him one, went, what do you think? And the guy's like, yeah, it's really nice. And Nick Knowles went, you can keep that one. And, and I wish, that's what I want, a Nick Knowles headshot.
You should do that.
Do you, just... do you, like, because I've seen Jeremy Piven, I haven't seen him do a set, but I've seen him, when I've been in the States, I've seen him on the bill. On like, you know,
I didn't know he did stand up until
he
right now.
He does stand up, yeah, yeah. He's been doing it for
a few
years.
Maybe that's why he followed me.
He drops in some clubs. Have you gigged outside of UK and Ireland? Have you done Europe shows?
No.
Have you done states?
I really tried to get a little European leg sorted, but it just didn't pan out time wise. But we're gonna put some European shows on, like Northern Europe, into like Scandinavia, into Germany. I've gigged in Germany once, but it was on my stag do, and I was under instruction not to be funny at all.
On your stag?
On my first stag do, yeah.
In a comedy club?
In a comedy club, yeah.
And your mate said, don't be funny?
The challenge was I had to not be funny. At all. I couldn't tell a joke or ask anyone what he did. I had to literally be as boring as I possibly could be.
And did it...
I still did better than most of the actors.
Standing up.
And then Freddie Quinn went on. He was like, I'll jump on if you... And then did his absolute gold right after me, just to fucking...
Right.
Then start. And I was like, you fucking snake.
But what about the States? Because you would have plenty of fans out there.
Yeah. I think we could do a little... I really would love to go to Australia and Canada. I think America's a tough one to do a tour in because it's really hard to get work visas and stuff. I think there's problems around that. But yeah, it's just, it's time with me.
Yeah,
so the kids. I have my kids half the week, and then I always tour Wednesday to Saturday. So getting that day or taking that time out would be a bit of a nightmare. So Europe would be fine. I really do want to. I want to gig in Europe just to see how the cat. It's weird. Like Southern England really struggle with my accent, but like Ireland and Northern Europe seem to be really tuned into it for some reason.
So people will understand you more in Munich than London.
Yeah. People understand, definitely Denmark, people can understand Scouse in Denmark so well. I don't know why. Yeah, so.
I'm trying
to
think, Dan Agger, maybe that's why. You know, play for Liverpool, he's Danish,
maybe,
is he?
Maybe, and Jan Mulby and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe there's something in that.
I think it's probably, our accent came a lot from their accent, didn't it?
Yeah.
So it's probably something to do with that.
What are things that you, what's like a project outside of stand-ups that you would love to do? Still maybe related to comedy, but... Is there like a self-funded series you'd love to do or a film?
I don't know. I'm a fucking ADHD prick. And I'm just like, every so often I go, I really want to write a film.
Right.
And I'll just buy a new laptop. I need a new laptop for that. And now I need final fucking draft or whatever the fuck it's called. Spend about $3,000, sit there, type for a minute and go, yeah, I'm bored. Yeah. Go back to stand-up because I know what I'm doing. I would love to. I've done a little bit of acting, and I would like to act a bit more. I found that quite interesting. It was really jarring at first, cause, you know, when you're doing loads of takes, and you're like, I've just said that.
Because with stand up, it's
yeah, yeah. Like you can't do that with stand up. Yeah, it's done. You do it, and it's done.
Do you like you seem to me, and probably like you say it is, because you have so many clips that just keep coming out. It looks like you're doing stand up 24/7. Do you like taking time off and having
no
break,
I like the
like?
Idea of taking time off,
yeah,
really like the idea of taking time off, and then I'm off for 3 days and I annoy everyone around me because I'm like, oh, what are we doing?
Yeah,
because she'll just sit by a pool and be dead happy, and I'm like, what time's dinner?
Right,
it's 11 o'clock in the morning, Paul.
You like activities? You like activities?
I don't even like activities. No, I like to, I don't know, I need to be gigging. If people aren't looking at me, I'm not happy.
Right.
And I'm just a prick.
Yeah.
It does me head in.
Do you, I'll do, if I'm in a hotel on a holiday, I'll do any, you know when they come round the reps? I'll do it. Whatever it is.
Kids club,
any of it, I'll do it. I love activities. I love getting out and doing an activity.
Like, just measuring your dick at altitude.
Yeah, yeah, I love, because people are like, we're having a dick measuring thing. I'm like, well, we'll need to do that every day of the holiday and take an average, because it's not.
I'm going to smash this kids club.
It's not.
You haven't even got pubes yet. Come at me, son.
That's why I'm banned from buttons. You got my red coat taken off. Is there like a certain venue that you would love to play?
I'm really looking forward to this one tonight, to be honest.
SSE?
Yeah. It's a weird one. I did the M&S Bank Arena in Liverpool a couple of times. And at the full setup, it was like 9,500 people. And it was an amazing experience for me. But I feel like there's the point where it gets too big. And they're not getting the most out of it. I think the best venue, my favourite, I'll film me that special there, is the Olympia Theatre in Dublin.
I'm doing it for the first time later this year.
It is the best comedy venue I've ever played, bar none. It holds the atmosphere like nothing I've ever experienced.
Advise me on this, right? I do this thing where when I want to record an hour, I kind of throw my eggs into one basket.
Yeah.
But then I'm a little bit ADHD too, where I change my mind on things a lot and that sort of thing. Like, I did a run at the Opera House last year in Belfast, recorded them all, and then ended up going to America a few months after that, and just at the time went, I just want to film the America shows. So that's going to be my special, is the different America shows. But I'd love to this year just pick, it's hard because you do like a load of shows on a tour, you pick one for the special, and then the next night you do a different venue. Should have done that one. But if you're telling me the Olympia is,
it's incredible.
Is that where I should film the next hour?
You are right. I mean, everywhere is different on a different night, but I don't think there's a better room for comedy that I've ever played.
Because it's like old in the best way.
It's old. It just holds. It's the laugh you get from them. It's a wall of people.
Yeah.
And everyone's just so up for it because it's Dublin and the great. And it just, even down to the fact that everyone who works there loves the place, and the whole place is just ran so beautifully.
Yeah.
And you feel great as you get in there, and you've like I got in there, they had a bottle of whiskey made with my name on and stuff like that from Jameson, and then they've got all fruit and bloody, like, it's just, it's stuff every, the green room's incredible.
Yeah.
And it's all like set up like Spinal Tap, so they got like, the fridges are like Marshall amps that go to 11.
Right, and stuff like
that.
Class.
It's just, everyone there loves it. And it's just the most incredible place. It's just got the best atmosphere about it.
Class. I'm really excited for that.
Oh man, honestly, I'm doing it again in November, because we ended up having to put double shows in there because we were going to look at doing the three arena in Dublin, but I was like, I just can't not go there.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd rather do like, we did the half 10 at night show, and I was like, I might have pushed this a bit far. But it was great. And I had John Kavanagh come down, you know, Conor McGregor's MMA coach. So, you know, when you invite someone down, you're like, I fucking bet you this is the one where they're all going to be fucking cunts, but they were lovely.
Right.
They were absolutely lovely. It was probably, it was better than the early show, if anything.
Have you almost run out of, in Liverpool, or you've done all the venues, you've done...
No, I've actually never played the Empire Theatre, which is the biggest theatre. We jumped straight from the club to the arena, in a weird way.
Right, so,
I kind of bypassed all the theatres.
Ah, because I was going to say, like, because Belfast, you sort of, I love doing something new. I like doing somewhere different and switching it up. And because you're giving the audience a different experience then as well.
Yeah.
But we obviously, you know, it's a small city.
Yeah.
So that's interesting that Liverpool is a place you haven't played.
Yeah. So, because this year I wasn't even going to do, we're doing the arena now, but because they're building a new club.
Yeah.
It's going to be like a 600 seater.
Yeah. I'm doing it.
So I just put shows in there. So we put like 20, 25 shows in there.
Class.
But then the club's not finished. So we've had to move all the shows to the arena.
Will it be finished by, say, for talk's sake, November?
If it's not, then we're in bother.
Right, okay. So me and you might need to put the hard hats on.
So I've got a lot of shows in November there.
Right, okay, shit. I think...
It should be done by August, but I had shows like this month. Like, I'm supposed to have shows this week. So the last two nights, I should have been in Liverpool for the first two shows. But it didn't happen. So.
I've told this on a pod before, but when I did Hot Water a couple of years ago, there was everyone was in and seated. Oh,
the fire alarm.
There was a fire.
Yeah.
And it
Someone
was...
vaping.
It went from, no, a full fire.
Oh, it was a fire?
A genuine, real-life fire. The fire alarm went off, and you know, you do that kind of like, you're rolling your eyes at people, and then... a manager craned her head into the room and very calmly went, "There's a fire!" And everyone's like, "Ah!" And like, There's no like, guys, form an orderly queue. It's, she was like, fucking run. And everyone's like, run. Now, I went to Liverpool one, and it was winter, it was November, and I wanted like a big coat. I got this really nice coat from Zara. Don't mean, I know you got a McLaren F1. I mean, they're like, this was 110 quid. Right? You can see, 110, and I paid cash, right? So I got this 110 pound Zara coat in the green room. I'm about to introduce Vittorio to open for me. Fire, everyone leaves. I look at him like, mate, do the right thing. But he saves himself. I want, you know, I'm expecting him to lay his life down for me and run in and get the coat. But he does, because there's like, you can see, like, someone's like, I see smoke and all. So I run back in. Like, I don't run out straight away. I go get the coat, get my rucksack, run up. We're all on street level. Everyone who was at the gig. The fire engines are coming. They establish there's a fire in the kitchen in hot water. And I'm like, well, the show's obviously cancelled. And like an hour's gone by. And Adam Rowe had done the show before. He takes me across the road to a different bar with like a courtyard in it. He goes, let's just say to the barman, can you do the show here? Because the whole audience are there already. But they've started getting carryouts at the shop. They're boozing away. I'm standing there. People are singing. I'm chatting to people. And it was a late show anyway. So I'm like, the show's not going to happen. Then the manager was like, this has happened loads of times. And I was like, that doesn't make me want to do this. She's like, we've had loads of fires in the basement. And by the way, also, there was like four guys who like...
They haven't had loads of fires, by the way. It's a very safe place.
One of the firemen was like, oh, there's four guys still painting down there. It was like four guys, like the band on the Titanic. Like, it's four local guys from home in Liverpool still finishing those pints. And eventually, we did the show. And I think only in Liverpool would it have worked. Because it was like 2 hours after the show was supposed to be on. And it was one of the best shows of my life.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
You get that, like, Spirit of the Blitz kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's happened twice to me this year on tour. The fire alarm's gone off.
Right.
And both times it's been someone who's got kicked out, who smashed the thing.
Oh, really?
I shouldn't say that, because now everyone who gets kicked out is going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
But we've had to then go outside and get everyone back in. And I've thought the same thing, like, this is going to be fucked now.
Because you're like, that's all they'll want to hear me talk about.
Yeah. But the mad thing is like, because it happened in the King's Theatre in Glasgow. So you got like 1,300 people there. And you're saying, like, the fire alarm goes off. And I'm like, that's a fire alarm. And they're all like,
yeah.
I'm like, yous are mad, because you would literally stand there. You would sit there and burn until I tell you that this is real.
It's part of it. It's part of it. It's so realistic. Choking.
They're fucking crazy.
So I've seen your cars gradually, you know, improve, gradually go up the levels to the point we're at the... And I'm not a car guy, but we're at the McLaren F1. What's a purchase you would love to make that's still, like, in the distance where you go, I want that? Like, do you want, like, a helicopter or something with guns?
I was actually looking at a plane the other day.
Be serious, were you?
I was. They're not that much. Like, not a jet, like a little plane.
Oh no, you don't want to get one. No, that's dangerous.
I do. And you fly it yourself. Only because you come into the airport. It's £6 a night to keep your plane at the airport.
No,
and then
is it?
You don't have to go through customs. You go through your own little customs. This is one fella. Just put your bag through and walk out the airport.
They need to increase that, because, like, even if they made that a tenner, you wouldn't bat an eyelid at that.
But even that.
So hold on.
And then you don't have to pay the fucking.
You would consider. It's possible in the future.
Yeah, get like a little four-seater plane.
I might be in a plane, commercial flight.
Yeah.
Fly
past you.
And I might look out the window.
Look how big my wheel is.
See? Paul Smith on his way to do the SSE in a plane. But you would not just get a plane, you would learn how to fly it.
Yeah.
And then you would just go around gigs
in
your plane.
Yeah.
But...
Why not?
How much would it cost? Like,
it's 150 grand for a plane. Cheaper than the car.
Nah. Cheaper than the cars you like. Would you genuinely consider that?
Yeah, only because I know a guy.
That's why you shouldn't get
no,
it. You know a guy, a Scouse guy, who can get
not
you a
Scouse
plane.
Guy, a Slovakian guy.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, Pavel.
Really? He's so got Pavel's one. Like, Paul, I can get
he's
you.
He's got one. He flew to Dublin, on it.
And
we
he
met
wants
there,
to
and he was
sell
like,
it?
I flew him out. No, he just went, get one of these.
How out of 10, 10 being like, I'm definitely getting it, what, where would you be in
I mean, Mrs. has said I'm not allowed, but...
She also said I wasn't allowed to buy a car. Imagine you being in a half, be like, what's wrong with you? Like, my fucking wife. What, she won't let you out this weekend? Nah, she won't let me buy a car. Ferry myself around.
Well, I don't... I wasn't supposed to buy that car.
Right.
I had no intention of buying that. Technically, I'm going to tell this story. I'm already working on this story for my next tour show. This is probably going to be the start of it, so I'll give you a little exclusive. So, because you sort of bought the Lamborghini, didn't you?
Yeah.
So that was a mistake as well, because I'm just an idiot, right? So I love cars, right? And I'm like,
I would fucking hope so.
I do. I love them, and I always like, even like back in the day, I used to go around and look at cars in showrooms and stuff. So, like, and it'd just be a little, like, day out for me, like, going, looking around, sitting in them and stuff like that. And then I went and got, because at the start of not the last year, but the show before, I told the story about buying a Merc S-Class, which it wasn't really. It was a GT63S, but, like, people didn't understand what that was, so we changed it to an S-Class.
Right.
And I bought it because I went into the showroom and some rich fella was there, and I wanted an E-Class, but when I said that, he went, and I thought, you cheeky bastard. You don't think I can afford this?
So, I'll show you.
Yeah. See, and he was looking at this car, so I bought it before him.
Oh, I thought you meant to do his head there. Right, okay, so he's just another
and
pump.
It was stupid, because right. I couldn't afford it. So so I ended up having to sell that car.
I bet you he's the salesman's mate. Yeah. He's there every week.
If he is, it was a good move.
He's just about to buy this.
Big fucking fat Tory bastard. You know. So yeah, so
it was David Cameron.
No, what if? But so I end up with my S class Merc. So I was talking in for a service one day, and we're by me Merc and Audi. They're all like next to each other in Cheshire, right? So I thought, it was in getting something looked at. So I thought I'll just wander over to Porsche to have a little look. So I walked in. I'm looking around the 911s. Love them, and beautiful. So I'm looking around, and a guy went, "No way." So I was like, hello, mate. I watch your stuff all the time, thinking you're amazing. I was like, thank you so much. He went, what are you looking at? So I'm just looking at the 911s. He was like, beautiful cars, aren't they? I was like, yeah, yeah. He went, have you ever driven one? I was like, no. He went, give me a minute. So he fucks off. Comes back with the key to a 911 and goes, I'll put you on that for an hour and a half. Go and have some fun. And I was like, I thought he was winding me up.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to be cool. Like, this shit happens to me all the time. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm driving it out of the showroom dead slowly, like waving at him. There's a little motorway, I got into the M53 and I just went, fuck off. I'm on FaceTime to me, I'm in a Porsche! And she's going, what? I went, he's given me a Porsche for an hour and a half. And she was like, why? I went, I don't know. So I'm just fucking, I just threw this car around everywhere. It was great. I took it back. And he's like, what do you think? And I was like, yeah, yeah. Because I couldn't afford the Porsche.
Right.
So I'm like, he just assumed I could afford the Porsche because he thought I was fucking famous, do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm like, yeah. I went, yeah, yeah, that's lovely that, mate. I'll have to have a think about it and just never went back.
Right.
So I just progressively thought, so I'm going around all Porsche showrooms now, just trying to get test drives of Porsches.
Right.
Did that for a bit. And then I thought, how cheeky can it be? So I was going around Audi and stuff like that, for that. So everywhere, just down showrooms. I used to take me little lad when he was off school on a little day out, just go and test drive cars. Right. And then I thought, I'd try Lamborghini, right? So I goes in, and the guy straight away, he's like, wow. So he recognised me, so I thought, I'm fucking flying here. I'm flying here. Beautiful Hurricane in the air, showed him with the get turned it on for me. Let's be rev it. These are amazing.
Price, because I'm not a car guy.
That Hurricane was 190,000. They're beautiful, right? Five litre V10, amazing car. So I said, can I have a test drive? He went, no. And I was like, what? He went, yeah, no, you can't test drive this unless you put a deposit down. And I was like, how much is the deposit? Uh-huh. He was like, it was 10%. And I was like, I said, well, what if I don't like the car? We just get the deposit back. And I was like, go on then. So I gave him like 20 grand. Test drives this car. And I'm thinking, I'll just get the 20 grand back.
Right.
No bother.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Just be sat in my account for an hour and then be back in my account. So I was like, stressed over, comes back. Amazing. He goes, amazing, isn't it? And yeah. But normally that would be my point to leave the showroom and go, because... and walk away and be sensible. But he's gone, what do you think? I went, it's incredible. He went, incredible, aren't he? He says, you're going to take it? I went, ah. I said, I'll be honest with you. Like, because I always had to come up with an excuse or something. So I went, I'll be honest with you, I love it, but I don't like the colour. He went, well, I said it because I honestly genuinely used to have one on GTA.
Right.
I had an orange one on GTA, right? And I put a picture of it when I got it. So I went, you still have an orange one? If you had the orange one, be the one. He went, you're not going to believe this. This has just come in. It comes downstairs in the fucking workshop. Orange Huracan just sat there. He went, it's not even for sale yet, but I'll do it for you. He went, we'll do a good price on it as well. I went, ah. He went, you've already put the deposit down. You could have it by Friday.
Yeah, 50 quid off. Yeah.
So I'm like, fuck it, do it. And my brain's going, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? So I'm like, so I just bought it. I bought it. When I picked it up the Friday, I was like, my missus was like, what have you done? I was like, I don't know, but I fucking love this car. So I'm driving it around. Then fucking the tax man come after me going, you owed us half of that money, you know?
Right.
And I was like, oh shit, yeah. So I had to sell the car because I thought, I didn't realise you had to pay tax the year after.
Yeah.
So I'm a fucking idiot. So I was laughing at me. So then I started telling that joke on stage. I'm like, I couldn't afford that car. So my missus is like, don't do that again. So I'm like, all right. But I carried on my little hobby of just driving around, going around. And now, because they've seen I had a Lamborghini, they were a bit more open to giving
right.
me. Because then they really thought I could afford it. So like Ferrari gave me a brand new 296 GTB for the day. It's like a 350 grand car.
How long did you have the Lamborghini day. For?
I had the Lamborghini for about 6 months.
Right.
Then I had a Bentley. Same idea, stupid. I bought the Bentley because I couldn't get the kids in the Lamborghini.
Most people might have got like, you know, those like Chrysler Voyagers with the door that opens up.
It was still a fucking other time. Oh, mate, stupid. So I had to sell both of them. So I'm going out. Ferrari gave me a car. And because Ferrari and McLaren are next to each other, so I'm just playing these off against each other for right. a little bit. See what I can get. So about 2 months ago, I had to pick my missus up from the airport. And McLaren's like 9 minutes away from Manchester airport. So I thought, I'll go down a bit early and see what they've got in. Have a little mess around. So I goes in. The guy straight up, yeah, some fucking game on. Let's have it. He said, what are you looking at? I said, oh, summer coming up. And then I'm thinking about something convertible. And he's like, you're not going to believe this. Pay that car for you. So he went, so she's got a brand new 720S Spider. Lovely X-Demo. 160 miles on it, but we can't sell it as new. We got a dead good price on it. I was like, oh, let me have a look. So I was like, amazing, right? So it's grey, though. I actually love the colour of it now, but I was like, grey. Not really into grey colour. But you can get it wrapped. I was like, yeah, fair enough, yeah. It had orange calipers and stuff on it. Orange, like, stitching and stuff. I thought, that looked nice in orange, though. So he was like, can I have a test drive? He was like, we don't really do with us a deposit. So I'm like, I'm not fucking doing that again.
Yeah.
Not doing that again. I'm not a dickhead.
Right.
So I said, I don't really want to put a deposit down and like tie that money up for a couple of weeks. And then I don't like the car. He was like, so he goes off and talks. He's obviously gone. We know who he is. He's not taking the piss.
Yeah.
So he's come back and gone, all right. But he come with me. So like.
On the test drive?
It's not as fun.
That's like, you know. Going on a date with a girl back in the day, and her dad's coming to the cinema with you. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So I'm like, ah. So I drove around for a bit. I was like, yeah, that's up, fine. Got out. I said, I've got to go and pick my missus from the airport. Left it at that. But he's messaging me then every couple of days, like, have you thought about the car? And I was like, yeah, I'm still thinking about it. Still got to talk to wife. See, not sure how I feel about it and stuff like that. So then I got up, I had the day to myself, and I was like, wonder how cheeky I can be. So I messaged him in the morning saying, I know you're not supposed to do this, but like I really want to see how, like, I bought too many cars now and I haven't got on with them. I said I really want to see how I get on with the car. Like, I want to test the sat nav and stuff in it.
I've not got on with so Lamborghini's been a prick.
So I'm like, well, they are a prick because you can't fucking park them anywhere and people fucking sit on them all the time. So I said I really want to see how I get on with the car. I need to test the sat nav in it because I know it hasn't got CarPlay and stuff, see what the stereo's like. And he's like, oh, he went, I can't do that, mate. I went, oh, I was fair enough, I understand, but like, I'm not just not comfortable buying a car that I haven't had a few hours in at least. So he went, all right, left it at that. Half an hour later, phones me up and goes, I'll put you on it for 4 hours, come and get it. So I was like, get in. So I drove down, went and got it, got there, about to spin it out, put the roof down. As soon as I put the roof down, it starts raining. I was like, bastard, roof back up, driving around, fucking gutted, fuming in this car, because it's rear wheel driving, it's 700 horsepower, you cannot drive it in the rain. It's terrifying, it will kill you. I tried to put my foot down twice and just went, fuck off. And I was like, no, nah, I'm not doing that. So I drove around for 4 hours, took it back, and he was like, what do you think? I said, I'm good, it was raining. And he went, I know, picked a bad day for it. I said, I know, yeah. But he said, well, have a think about it. So goes off, thought I'll leave it at that. Next day, he gets up, sun is cracking the flags. So I'm like, I wonder how cheeky I can be here. So I messaged him back on, mate, love the car, but I've spoke to my insurance guy, right? And he said, you need to see if it fits in your garage.
Did you make this up?
Yeah. Because so, I've got a new build, it wouldn't fit in my garage anyway. So right. I was like, so I sent him a picture going, I don't think it'll fit in here. And if it doesn't fit, I won't know. So he's like, ah, I said, can I come and get the car again? I know it's cheeky, can I get the car again? And just drive it to mine, see if it fits in my garage, and then I'll bring it straight back. And he's like, oh, I can't really. Oh. He went, give me a minute, fucks off. Comes back and goes, all right, I'll put it on again for another 4 hours, come and get it.
Now, do you think he was going to speak to someone, or do you think?
No, I think he was, because I met the boss who he was speaking to after that, I'll tell you that. So I goes and gets it, comes out of the thing, didn't even go near my house. Just roof down, fucking mace, bah, 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 bah. Driving around Manchester, laughing my head off, having the best day. Right. It's such a good car. So I'm driving around.
What does this car retail for?
It was 270,000 the other on four. So I'm flying around in it.
But he's going to throw in Matt.
Oh, yeah.
For Matt, the back.
Little, like, he's going to wash it for me now. So I'm Keeling. Driving around. And Rudy, my tour manager, he rings me up about something from where, and he's like, where the fuck are you? It's just windy and stuff, because I'm fucking flying around at 100 miles an hour in a fucking convertible. He's like, where are you? I went, I'm in that McLaren. He went, fuck off. He went, how the fuck have you got that again? I went, oh, I'm a cheeky bastard, aren't I? So he went, come and pick me up. I went, oh yeah, you're in Manchester. I went, all right, give me a sec. So span round to his, get some, comes in his drive, he comes off. He's like, fuck, mate, that's incredible. I went, no, it's bossing it. He went, I wonder if the camera bag would fit in that. We have a big camera bag. I went, so it pops the front. I was like, it fits perfect, innit? Like that. He's like, yeah. So I went, do you want to go for a spin? He went, yeah, go on. So he jumps in it like that. So I'm like, sweet. Goes, like, gets it, turns, reversed it into a Nissan Qashqai. Fucking full on. Like, because the reversing camera is behind the steering wheel. So if you turn it to full lock, you can't see it.
Right.
So I've just full on went, and I went, and I swear, right, I've never seen he's a grown man, and he went, so I'm like, oh, fucking hell, have I just crashed this car? And he's like, yeah, I think you've crashed the car, you know. And I was like, so he went, pull it forward, so I pulled it forward a little bit, and I had the crunch, and I was like, shit. Some woman comes running out of her house, you've crashed into my car, it's a fucking 2012 Nissan Qashqai, right? So I got out, I'm so sorry. I said that because I didn't hit it hard.
Right.
So I looked at her car first, and I was like, I don't think there's any damage because it's a low car, so I just hit the license plate on the car.
Right.
So I'm like, there's no damage, I don't think. So she's like, oh, I'm going to have a proper look because it's not my car. And I was like, this is not my car. And as I said at the turn, the fucking ass is hanging off this car because it's all carbon fibre. It's designed to just crumble.
Off yours?
Yeah. So the ass is hanging off this car. So I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do here? This is terrible.
Can I ask, when you take it, you have to give your
You sign this thing, like an insurance thing. It's just standard. So I'm like, fucking hell. So I'm like, I'm going to have to take this back and tell them now. So I drive it back. The guy comes out. He's like, come on, give me the good news. It fit in your garage, didn't it? And I'm like, before we get to that, I've crashed your car. And he's like, comedian. Like that. So I'm like, oh. I went, mate, I know, I wish I was joking. He went, I don't know if you wind me up. I went, I'm really not. I'm so sorry. I've crashed your car. And he's like, fuck off. So he comes out and looks, and he's like, oh my God. And I was like, I'm so sorry. He went, well, don't apologize to me. It's your car, isn't it? Like, well. Because I obviously had to make out like I'm buying this car. So I'm like, yeah. So I said as a joke, well, I don't really want it now because it's broke.
Yeah.
And he's like not amused at all. So I'm like, oh my, what am I? So I said, what happens here? I said, it's insured, isn't it? He went, yeah, but the excess is 20 grand.
Oh no.
And I was like, fuck off. He went, did you not read the form? And I was like, no. Who reads a form when someone comes out with a key to McLaren?
Yeah.
And goes, you're going to drive that, you go 4 hours, you go, I'm just going to spend an hour reading the terms and conditions of this form. So I was like, fuck's sake, man, what am I going to do here? He went, obviously, because you're buying the car, we'll try and look after you. I'll see what we can do. So I said, how much is that going to cost? He went, well, the bumper alone's 8 grand. And then you got it to sensors, and that's if there's no damage behind it. I said to him, well, I'm looking like 10 grand easy. He went, easy. And I was like, oh my God. So I'm like, oh, what am I going to do here? So he says, he messaged me the next one and go, we've had such a look. The guy in the body shop, has got a spare bumper there. He said he'll let you have, he'll do all the work. No, because you're buying a car and you're a value customer, he won't look after you. He said, we can do all the work and that's 1,700 quid plus VAT. So he said, and he said, well, while that's getting that done, we'll get all the finance in place so you can pick it up as quick as possible. So I'm thinking, fucking, I want to do it.
So you at this point still have no, you don't really want,
I don't want this car, but I don't want to spend 10 grand fixing this car either. So he's like, so I'm like, what do, he said, so yeah, if you send the deposit over, then we'll get all the finance documents in place. I'm thinking, what the fuck? So then in my, I thought, I'll send the deposit over and then I'll just let them fix the car and then I'll say, I can't get insured on it because it won't fit on my garage. Then they can't unfix the car.
Yeah.
They can't just go and smash the back of the car again. Yeah. And then I'll just get my deposit back.
Yeah.
I'll pay 1,700 quid. So I was like, all right. So I sent the deposit over, he goes away, fixes the car. The morning I'm going to pick it up, I ring him and go, mate, you're not going to believe this. I just went to get the insurance. They won't insure the car. He went, what do you mean? I said, he won't insure the car. But I'd had to get a provisional quote off my insurance guy. So when I'd rang him up, I'd said, he laughed at me going, you can't get insured on that car.
Yeah. Roughly what would that have been? Do you remember?
The insurance was £15,800 on this car. So I was like, fuck. He went, that's the best quote I could get you. Yeah. Yeah. And he said, my mate would be doing that as a favour. He said, I'm in the meeting, we're both laughing at you. Right. And I was like, oh, fucking hell. So I've had to ring him up. I'm going, hey, I said, if these call you today, I know you said that like ridiculous quote. He said, but just say you couldn't.
Right.
And he was like, okay, because it wouldn't go in my garage. He was like, fuck, all right. So I rang the salesman at McLaren and went, you're not going to believe it. They said, because I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
Because people won't insure you because you're a comedian.
People think that's a joke.
No, it's Aviva and that won't insure a comedian. So it's like they found us as a comedian because I said I was a master of ceremonies, which I used to do. they said they can't insure it. And he was like, fuck off. I know, I'm gutted. I can't believe it. My dream car. So I'm absolutely devastated. He went, I can't believe this happened to you. I went, no. He went, mate, I'm absolutely devastated. I went, no. He went, obviously, because you're a valued customer. We want to sell you the car in the future. I will try my best to get your deposit back. And I was like, what do you mean? He went, it's a non-refundable deposit. And I was like, what are you talking about? Yeah, we always, as standard, we do a non-refundable deposit because when people spec a car and don't take it, we have to sell it as used. So, like, we lose money on the car. So I was like, he went, did you not read the form again? And I was like, fucking no. Fucking start reading forms, Paul. So I'm like, well, what do I do here then? He went, I don't really know. I said, obviously, I'm going to try my best, but I don't know whether I'll be able to. It's just, like, company policy. It's in the contract that you signed. And I was like, I said, but you've got like loads of my money. And he was like, yeah, I don't know, yeah. And I was like, well, I'll just take the car then. And he was like, well, what are you going to do with it? You can't get insured. I went, I'll just fucking look at it, mate. I'll just look at it. And he's like, well, we can't release the car unless you have an insurance certificate. And I was like, fuck, give me a minute, right? But like, when I told him about this, he'd felt so bad. He'd gone, I'm going to try and help you out. So he'd had like loads of insurance companies ringing me up. So I'd had to make myself look as bad as possible to these insurance companies.
So they don't take
it. So they don't take it, right? And we've got all through them, like 10 different ones. So I've rang my insurance guy back and gone, mate, you're not going to fucking believe this. Is that quote that you said, that ridiculous quote you said, still there? And he was like, yeah, why? I went, non-refundable deposit. He starts pissing himself down the phone laughing at me, going, you're a fucking dickhead, you. I was like, I know. I said, I need that now because they won't release the car and you've got all my money and I can't now leave it with them. And he's like, fuck, see? So he went, yeah, it's true. I can see why not. Leave it with me. Goes away. Phones back 10 minutes later, mate, this is an absolute shambles. He said, you know, my mate's insurance company, who's doing me a favour, his insurance company has rang you yesterday not knowing it was you. You've made yourself look as bad as possible to them. So now they won't insure you on this car. So I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, well, I need to get insured on this car. He went, well, you can't. I said, well, I have to because they've got loads of my money. I can't leave it with them. So he went, oh, fucking hell, leave it. So he goes away, begs them for an hour. He come back and went, the only way they insure you, original quote, but you got 30 days to get it in your garage. But it doesn't fit in my garage. So I had to then pay someone to extend my garage by a metre into my garden so I can fit this car in that I couldn't afford in the fucking first place. Absolutely fucking stupid. So now I've had to write a joke about it just so I can claw some of that fucking money back.
Reversing into a Nissan Qashqai has cost you
literally probably end up to half a million quid. Fucking 2012 Nissan Qashqai.
And I'm going to end up in a 2012 Nissan Qashqai because of that.
I mean, that's wild. I wonder, could you have just like opened it as an attraction in Liverpool? Come and sit in this McLaren in Paul's driveway.
Yeah.
You know, sit in it for an hour to tenner.
I'm going to have to do something like that. Just start renting it out or something.
This is the most expensive mistake I've ever heard.
Yeah.
You'd be cheaper buying Pavel's plane.
No, that's why I was thinking about it.
Mm. Sell a McLaren, get a plane in it.
Read the fucking contract and Pavel gives it.
You know what the bad thing is? I know at some point in the future, the next time someone shows me terms and conditions, I'm just going to sign. And I'm not going to read it because I'm a fucking idiot. Like,
where are you going to park this plane?
It'll go in my garage. To build a hangar on the back of your house.
No wonder you're considering a plane. Paul, I massively appreciate you coming in.
Yeah, no, I'm
a big fan. You're an extremely inspirational stand-up. And I think you'll have a great one. I know Belfast loves you. I think you'll have a great one at all the SSE shows. Thank I'm going to come to the next one because tonight I've got to go to a comedian's wedding.
Oh,
Johnny Bo. He's a guy I fought in the comedian's boxing.
How is he? Did you win?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's going to turn him, swagger him in front of his new wife, alpha male in it.
First dance. Block him, knock him out.
Just step in between. I'll take this one.
I'm just going to walk in, scoop up all the gifts, take a big wedge of cake and just leave.
With your boxing glove on. Just punch the cake.
Paul, thanks very much for coming on with me. Appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Sipper, God love you. If you've made it all the way through this episode, that means you love Tea With Me, you love this podcast, or it means like you've drifted off and you've just left this on play. Either way, what you need to do is head over to our Patreon. If you enjoy the podcast and you want more tea, that's where you go. We do a bonus episode called The Special Brew every Monday and a live stream podcast every Friday with some of your favorite comedians. You can chat, interact, ask questions. When we announce live podcasts, you get early access to tickets with a little bit of a discount on there. And there is so much more. You can go back and watch, I think, nearly 1,000 hours of content. Tea With Me Patreon, which is patreon.com/teawithmepodcast. The link is in the description. I'll see you there.